Look again. Welcome, 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 all welcome, and welcome to your latest edition of Everything Real Estate and RIMBY edition in this COVID pandemic. My name is Maurice Muhammad, your host for Everything Real Estate RIMBY edition. Today we have with us our guest. He's not a stranger to us. He's been a guest on podcast in the past. He's been a guest. He's the past president of RIMBY, Lionel Bohannon. And our topic that we intend to bring to you is some information on evictions. We may have to do another topic on this. It's a really hot topic right now. It's something that I'm sure that there's tons of questions about. And as we're evolving in this pandemic, I'm sure that more things will be ever changing and ever evolving as it relates to evictions and real estate and property management. We'll hear what he has prepared for us and the audience. And again, you know, we want to let you know who we are and why we're doing what we do, as we are we are RIMBY, the Real Estate Management Brokers Institute. And RIMBY is a affiliate of NARAB, the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. And it is the extension, the real estate property management division of NARAB, responsible for educating and teaching and training and producing and helping, you know, to produce and train professional property managers on a level that is second to none that I can point out at this point. RIMBY is responsible for teaching classes in colleges across the country, nationwide, from Vegas to California to Florida to Alabama, you name it. RIMBY has partnered with colleges, you know, to teach the educational platform on a collegiate level. Why do we do the podcast? It's your place to get where you can get every question you may have related as it relates to real estate, as it relates to property management, whether you're new to property management or whether you're a seasoned vet. What we intend to do is make this your platform and your vehicle for, information. It is in a live platform, in a podcast setting. What you see is you're seeing it live as we're doing it. And it's the real thing. And our intent is to bring thought-provoking topics that you can benefit from, because we want to make sure that you see you successful in your business. We want to see your business grow, as the sole purpose of what we do at RIMBY is to help property managers to be successful in their business and teaching and training. So without any more from myself, we are going to bring our guest with us on the screen, Mr. Lionel Bohannon, and he's going to help us out and talk to us a little bit about what he has put together for us as it relates to property management and evictions. And we're just going to have a conversation. And we welcome your questions. Please chime in if you got this this message and you're on with us and you got this broadcast, and you can send your messages and questions in, and we will definitely answer them as best we can. If we don't have the answer, we'll make sure we get it for you and get back to you with it. That's for certain. I will not be the one to tell you that I don't have a problem saying I don't know. If I don't know, I definitely let you know that, and we'll do my best to get the information to you. So without any more further from myself, we're going to bring with us our guest, Mr. Lionel Bohannon, seasoned veteran in real estate out of California. Los Angeles, California, and let me get the bio, bro. Hold on a second here. I apologize. I didn't see it attached. I just saw the email that said do this. So Mr. Bohannon is over 23 years in the real estate industry. companies own. He is responsible for companies LB Unique Properties, Inc., specializing in traditional, REO and short sales, LB Financial Group, Inc., specializing in the residential mortgage, conventional, jumbo, FHA and VA corporation holdings for residential income property, and immediate past president. I'm standing on his shoulders, directly on his shoulders. I wash my feet, and I'm standing directly on his shoulders and with clean socks on. Past president of Renby, and for Solano Realtors Association, and past regional 8. Is that 9 or 8, brother?
15.
Huh?
15.
15, pardon me. Regional 15, vice president, and certified HUD counselor for NID, national NID. Yes, sir. So, Lionel, you have the floor, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. President Muhammad, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for putting on this important podcast. And thank you for the introduction. We're going to move right into the topic, as Maurice was discussing, on how the CARES Act. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir. You can hear you loud and clear.
Yep. Okay, so what we're going to cover is how the CARES Act, as it pertains to evictions. Just know that this information is kind of raw. But I recommend that you check with your local jurisdiction. It's basically insight to kind of get the wheels in motion so that you can obtain the information. So basically, the eviction moratorium was in the CARES Act only applies with respect to non-payment of rent and other charges. So therefore, the landlords may undertake any eviction against the tenant based on other terms of the lease as long as the eviction is unrelated to non-payment of rent. So what that's basically saying is that for the period that the CARES Act has started for the 3-month moratorium, the landlord could not evict you or charge you for the late payments or rent. But that does not mean you are not obligated to pay those back rents. And that statement also applies to mortgages which are backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Okay, so to say what I'm saying is that basically the only way you can get evicted if you violate any other term of the lease. Okay, so if you're out of pocket with other areas of the lease, loud noises, damaging the property, just any other
lease provisions, any other provisions.
Mm-hmm. They can evict you just on that. Okay, wow. But anything in terms of financial for charges and the rent, they cannot evict you. But after the moratorium, they can start the eviction process. However, I recommend that you contact the mortgage servicer as well as the landlord so that you can make arrangements to let them know that you have been affected. So as soon as you become affected, you have to let the landlord know, because some people have not been affected when COVID initially came down and the shutdown started. Some people had delayed reaction where they were out of work 30 or 45 or even 60 days after the shutdown. Okay, so whenever you see that you have been affected by COVID, you need to contact your mortgager or your landlord and make arrangements to bring those payments current. And it's always a good idea to have a good relationship with the landlord so that you can have a good footing, but understand where you're going to be after the pandemic or the moratorium has moved on. Okay. The moratorium on evictions took effect on March the 27th of this year. And it extends 124 days. So basically it ended, it sunset on July 24th, 2020. So furthering it, it kind of goes back to what I alluded to. Tenants are still responsible for their portion of the rent during the eviction moratorium. For any unpaid rent during the moratorium, the household must be repaid landlord or sign a repayment agreement to pay any amount owed after the moratorium has ended. If the amount owed is not repaid, the landlord may terminate the household and proceed with a legal eviction. Okay, so after that 120 days in, a landlord cannot require a protected tenant to vacate the tenant's unit without providing proper notice. So that after that moratorium is ended, you got 30 more days for that landlord, 30 days to start the process if he's going to go ahead and evict you after that moratorium. So that means that you probably haven't took the initiative to contact the landlord and let them know that you're having some issues, okay? It's never too late, but I always say it's better to do it early as possible, but we should have a good working relationship or understanding with the landlord or the property manager on an ongoing basis anyway, right? It shouldn't just be when the pandemic hit or something tragic hit, because the better the relationship, when trouble comes, the smoother the waters can be, you know, as you're coming through the issue. So I just recommend that you have a good working relationship with the landlord. The renters have an advantage at this point than the persons that have mortgage, because the mortgage company don't know who you are. They don't have a relationship with you, just a number. But you know, the property manager or the landlord, it's pretty intimate, right? And for lack of a better term, they're more familiar with you. So right. I would encourage you to keep open lines of communication so that you always have options. All right.
Do you think it's safe to say that the moratorium is, for what I'm hearing, is that it's not a pass or a free pass on non-payment of rent. It's just kicking the can down for 3 months.
Absolutely. It's not a pass for not to pay your rent.
Yeah.
That's
the
quickest way to get out after the pandemic.
Yeah.
So the moratorium was to give you an opportunity to get your finances back on track, whether that be in regaining gainful employment, or getting some of that CARES Act, some of the unemployment money, PPP money, but it's just an opportunity for you to get your finances back in line to help stabilize your household.
Nice, that's a good point, man, and definitely good to know. And it's ever evolving. So the point you made about making sure that you check with your local area is very key, because what is happening in California is definitely not happening in Pennsylvania, and what's happening in Pennsylvania is or may not be happening in New Jersey, and wherever your local area is going to be specific. You may even have state funding. There may be state local funding and available for assistance. And so check with your local area, because there's a lot of variables that go with it that may not, you know, so it's not a one size fit all. We just want to just right. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I was echoing what you were just saying there. Mm-hmm. But I will add that if you go to HUD.gov, there is a plethora of information surrounding coronavirus 19 and the help and the resources that are available, and there are updates as the moratorium is extended, possibly. We don't know if it's been extended yet, but I know they are talking about trying to extend unemployment and talking about the limits, PPP. So I would strongly suggest that you make HUD.gov a favorite on your sites, your browser, so that you can get to that at your fingertips if you need to. Something comes up and you have a question. They have a bunch of FAQs on the site. They have a place where you can go ahead and they have a place where you can find local resources to help you find out what's available to you in your area, and also give you pertinent information specific to your jurisdiction.
Nice. Thank you for that, man. So to your point of what I heard also was that making arrangements and communicating with your landlord, even with your bank, or whomever you're paying, whether your mortgage or your rent to, is the key, you know, is to communicate early as possible. As I think that's what I heard you say, is communicate as early as possible as you can.
Absolutely, because like I said, the relationship between a tenant and a landlord is much more intimate than it is with a mortgage company.
Right.
So with the mortgage company, you need to get with them, because they, with the mortgage companies that are backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, again, they're giving you a 3-month moratorium, right?
So for those that don't know what a moratorium is, that may not even know, they just, you know, went and just got their apartment at the beginning of the year, lost their job 3 months in the year, March, lost their job. Dealing with that, I don't even know what a moratorium is. What is that? Help me.
Moratorium is basically, you can use it as a general as a break. You know, it's just a period of time where nothing negative can happen to you during this time. So it's basically a safe space. Let's call it a safe space.
Gotcha.
So that you won't be evicted. It's just a holding pattern until something can come and drastically change and improve. Right. That moratorium with the mortgages, what I wanted to get to is that when you talk to the mortgage companies and they're backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you can extend for 3 months, right?
Oh yeah, talk about that. That's a good point. And
you have the ability to reapply up to a year for that moratorium space, right? For not making mortgage payments.
Mm-hmm.
So, if your situation don't improve after this first moratorium that we just went through, and you need an additional 6 months, you need to contact that mortgage company and apply for a further deferment of your mortgage payment. And so, basically, with Fannie and Freddie, if they defer it, you just have to be mindful that it's going on back of the mortgage. They won't put interest on it, but it's going to go back on the end of the mortgage, and you have to repay that if you do a refinance, you sell a house that's coming off the top, right? One other important thing is that if you do this, you do the 3 months or you go up to a year, you have to be mindful that your escrow balances are where they need to be. Because if your taxes and your insurance are impounded in your mortgage payment and you're not making mortgage payments, then at the end of the time when they do that, and when they recalculate, they analyze your escrow balance and you're up short, you're not going to have enough money to have your taxes paid or your insurance. You got to be mindful of that. So
let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. And I really don't mean to cut you off, but I want to make sure that I'm hearing you correctly. Is that you're saying that if your house is with Fannie or Freddie Mac, you can apply for a 3-month reprieve. Moratorium is a temporary prohibition of activity, an activity. An indefinite moratorium is drift example would be authorization for debtors to postpone payment. And that's what a moratorium is. So you can apply for that for 3 months. And if you need it again, you can apply for another 3 months for a maximum of what of 1 year. That's what's in the CARES Act. That's what's in the CARES Act. So for those that don't know, from what that you have, that you have the ability to apply for up to 1 year. You didn't know that that is part of the provision of the CARES Act. And I'm not sure that that's always happening or is always being made known to those that may need it. Then the other part that I'm hearing you say is that communication still is very important in this whole process, because you may have some escrow issues. So they're not going to, you may have to pay taxes, or you may have some other, they're all different. So there's no one size fits all. So the communication component of communicating with your bank is still a very a large component of it, is to make sure that you want to communicate with the, with your bank, because there may be some aspects of it that you might have to contribute to as far as your escrows, right? Is that what?
Yeah, absolutely. Because think about it. If you're delaying three payments and $600 or $700 a month of your monthly payment is going to your escrow balance, I mean, three times seven, that's $2,100 right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you got a tax bill that's $3,000, $4,000 a year, and then you go apply for another 3 months, now you're talking about 6 months. So that's $4,200.
Mm-hmm.
So that so insurance and taxes is coming out of that escrow money. So you got to be mindful of that. So, and that's where the communication come in. I mean, now if you can, you want to play the deferment game, and you have the money instead of paying the mortgage, you want to, you know, I'm not suggesting you do anything, but I'm just suggesting that you know the rules so that you can manipulate around to make your situation improve and not damage yourself in terms of with the credit, right? Because with Fannie and Freddie, right? The mortgage companies not reporting that you're late, but the other side of that is they're not reporting anything at all.
So say that again. Now that's another part that was now see they was and it's not what's taught, but it's what's caught. That they're not reporting the lates neither, right?
But you're not getting no positive activity either, because you're not making any payments.
There you go. So good.
So if somebody tried to do a refinance after this is over, and they got into the CARES Act. I mean, they took advantage of the 3 month moratorium. It may be a problem, because they probably I've seen where the lender, the new lender that's trying to do the refi, they'll come back and say, okay, well, I don't see any payment history, right? So because it's not going to show up on your credit report. See, it's just going to be coded 32 or 31 or something like that. And basically what that was saying is just on your report is saying that you're impacted by COVID-19, right? But even though they're not posting negative information, they're not posting good information either that you're making those payments. So what's going to have to happen is that if you do it and you pay it, the new lender is going to want to see that you have paid up that deferred amount before they close the loan, or they won't do it. You won't be able to do it with new refinance money, right? Wow. So that's another piece you got to be mindful of. So I would just say, you know, if you're not going nowhere, it might not be a problem, but I want to arm you with the information so that you don't get caught up, you know, from all the noise that's out there.
Yeah, it's a lot of noise. It's a lot of guesswork and a lot of, you know, hypothecating, a lot of just guessing about what it is. But read up on it. You know, you want to read up on the CARES Act. There's more to it. If nothing else you got from this, know to it that there's more to it than what you may have known. You know, right. Look up and check in your local area. You know, for what's local, there may be some other things available to you as well. So
let me give them a couple more resources. So you can go to Fannie Mae.gov. and FreddieMac.gov or .com. I can't remember which one it is, but if you type in Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, so Fannie is FANNIEMAE, and if you do Freddie Mac, if you do that, they have a link in there where you can put in your either your social security number or your mortgage account number.
Absolutely.
And it will tell you if your mortgage is backed by Fannie or Freddie.
Yeah.
Freddie or Fannie. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now here's the deal. If your mortgage is not with Fannie or Freddie, then they're still giving you a 3 month some of them are honoring the 3 month moratorium, giving you a deferred point for 3 months. But this is where it gets real tricky, because at the end of the 3 months moratorium, they want all 4 months paid up at one time. So now you can also go back and try to apply again for another 3 months. But I'm just saying this, if you're not with Freddie or Fannie, then if you like, I'm not going to call any lender's name out, but if you find that your mortgage is not on Fannie or Freddie, then some of those other mortgage companies, when you go and apply, they'll give you the 3 month, you know, moratorium, they'll give you the deferment and, you know, modification, whatever that to hold your payment, put on the back. But these companies that I'm talking about are not Freddie or Fannie. And at the end of the third month,
they coming to get your house.
They want 3 months payment. And that fourth payment that they want four payments. So if you don't have $2,000, I don't know how you're gonna have $8,000.
Facts.
Right. So just a little something there. But so I'm gonna go back to what's covered. What properties are covered in the CARES Act? Right. So the properties that are covered and protected by the CARES Act. The eviction protections only apply to covered dwellings, which are rental units and properties that participate in a federal assistance program subject to family-backed mortgage loans and a family-backed multifamily mortgage loan. So any of those places or any of those properties the landlord has that has a loan that are federally backed, then those properties are protected. And then the federal programs like the housing vouchers, housing choice, and Section 8, the rental-based stuff, rural housing, all of that is under the CARES Act. And then also the low income tax credits. So that's pretty much it. Renters are... renters not covered by the federal moratorium could be covered by state and local. So that's why you need to look at your specific jurisdiction and also get the HUD's website and find out who the experts are in your local jurisdiction so you have somebody to turn to cut through the noise.
So you want to speak at the point in our program where you want to provide value to you and add value to you. And we want, for those that are listening, those that are listening in the audience, if you can tell us today what our topic was and name one of the three resources that were given, one or two, Lionel, what do you say? How many resources should we have? They have to name.
Let's do two. Let me see if I was clear enough in the communication.
Right. Good.
Let's test me too. How about
all right.
That?
Good enough. So two of the resources. If you're listening and you're on the podcast with us today, you're joining us, and you can tell us the topic and two resources that were covered in the topic. You get a 1 year free membership to RIMBY as a RIMBY membership. Your membership starts. So just join us, reach out to us via our Facebook page or go to our website. You can sign up right at our website, but inbox us on our RIMBY's Facebook page, because I'm sure most of you all came through the Facebook page. So you can get in contact with us via one of those ways and get your membership that way. So we want to know the topic and two of the resources that was given out inside of the content that we gave today, and you have yourself won your membership. You are a member of RIMBY. RIMBY's of what you become a member. So we are at the hour. We are 20 seconds past the hour. I think the content was relevant. Thank you, Mr. Bohannon, President Bohannon, for your consistency and always, delivering and always ready to serve. And it's an honor to serve with you in this cause of helping the underserved, which is what we do. I wouldn't trade it in for body parts. I wouldn't trade it in for anything. Change it up. I'm honored to serve and grateful to serve, and with the history of NARAB, NARAB was established in 1947. And it was established in 47 because we were not able to practice real estate with our counterparts. Blacks were not allowed to practice real estate as a result of just not being able to practice real estate. So NARAB was established for that particular reason. And there's gonna be some, why do you keep bringing up that history? There's some that don't wanna hear that part of the history. However, I'm a strong believer in the fact and how important history is as a guide to us, because when you throw away the history, guess what also gets thrown away is the premises and the principles of those history makers, those the ones that established it. Sometimes the principles of what they stood on and the principles for what they stood for also get tossed out with the history when you toss the history out. So the history is important, not to stay there, not to get stuck on, get stuck in the past. However, the history is very important to know why, and it's giving us a guide as to where we're going and helps to give us our direction. So that being said, no more for myself. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of your podcast of Everything Real Estate, RIMBY Edition, and that's COVID pandemic that we are, the coronavirus and COVID. I didn't realize it was two. Those are two viruses. I thought it was one all this time. So you have the COVID-19 and then the coronavirus, the two separate viruses in one. Didn't even know that, since we're talking about information of, revelation and new revelation. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yep. And
appreciate it.
Yep. And may God bless you. And we'll talk to you soon. Peace and greetings.
Guys, have a good weekend.